Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in six different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
I want to go ahead and jump into the message today. How many of you think, God, it's football season? Can I get a good amen? Yeah. How many of you could care less whether it's football season? Okay, there's a few of you. Okay, all right, let's pray for them. We're praying for y'all. Okay, at least give me this. If you're not excited about football season usually means the weather changes and it starts getting cooler. Can we say? I mean, have y'all noticed the change in the weather since football season has started? It dropped from 98 to 96. Isn't that awesome? Is that cool front? Did y'all feel it? It dropped 2 degrees, and so we're going into the fall, and so I want to confess, I am a homer, so I'm originally from Texas. Heidi and I are. We've been here 18 years. When we moved here, we became fans of the local teams, because that's what you do, so we forgot all our other allegiance, and we've become fans of New Orleans Saints. We're Saint fans. We believe in Jesus and breezes. Heidi and I she shared with the girls at Arise, but we got to go to that Monday night game with that last second field goal. We were there. It was exciting. It was 130 decibels in the dome. And for you still to know, that is the sound of the horn on a fire truck. Could you just imagine? Just in your, I had to put my fingers over my ears to... Because I was afraid my head was ringing, and so it was so loud. And then of course the Cajuns won yesterday. They beat Miami of Ohio, and then the Tigers also won yesterday. How about that offense? Where is the defense? And then of course we also know Southern. We root for Southern too, but they did not win yesterday. But I can guarantee the band at halftime of Southern was better than Florida A&M. I can promise you that. If you've never heard Southern's band, they are amazing. And so we are football fans and enjoy that. Today we got a big game. Saints got a big game today, and without Drew Brees. Heidi sent me a picture of somebody put on social media of, it was a hand, and the hand was taped, the thumb was taped to the rest of the hand. And it was a Saints fan that said, well, if Drew loses his thumb for 6 weeks, I'm going to lose mine for 6 weeks too. How many know that's a fan right there? You're going to tape his fingers up too, touched with his infirmities. And so so I thought I'd give you just a few. By the way, this is all in fun, right? It's all in fun. I don't mean anything by this, because I know we have other fans in here other than the teams that I mentioned. I know we have Cowboy fans in here. It's all in fun. It's all in fun. We don't take this real serious. I know we have some Alabama fans in here. Let's close in prayer right now. Father, we thank you for the time we had together. And so let me give you just, I'm just going to, this is all in fun. So I don't want anybody, you don't get mad, leave the church and say, Pastor, you said a joke with my team in it, okay? Because when you get the stage, you can tell jokes about my teams, okay? So anyway, here, so I get the platform today. So anyway, let me give you just a few little smack talk jokes. So can y'all handle that this morning? All right, here we go. How many Alabama freshman football players does it take to change a light bulb? None. That's a sophomore class. Some of you will get that later. What has 32 teeth and is 100 yards long? That is the front row at a Florida football game. Y'all got one more? Why is the Kentucky football team like a possum? Because they play dead at home and get killed on the road. Oh, I got a few more if you want them. All right, here we go. There was a famous football coach and his wife, were talking, and the wife said, I think you love football more than me. And he replied, you're right, honey, but I love you more than baseball and basketball. And then last one, I promise. There was an LSU fan and a Tennessee fan that fought side by side in World War II. And when they were caught by the Germans, they were faced a firing squad. The University of Tennessee fan was asked if he had one last request. He said yes. I want to hear Rocky Top one last time. And then they turned to the LSU fan and asked him if he had a last request. And he said, I do. Shoot me first. Some of y'all get that, right?
Good old Rocky Top, Tennessee.
Who wants to hear that song? Anyway, I think I saw our Tennessee fan. We have one Tennessee fan. They're not saying anything because Tennessee's doing terrible. They're like, no, I'm good. I remember Pastor Jacob has the privilege of being a pastor in Coach Ogeron's life, and many of you might remember a couple of years ago when Coach O took on the LSU Tigers, and this is not all about football, but yet it is about sport. I mean, this is about team. I want to talk to you about a team, and because sports, and there's some analogies and things that you learn in sports that you can't learn any other way. It's hard to learn. And you learn things. How many of you played sports growing up, or you were part of any kind of team event growing up? It does teach you some things. It teaches accountability. Other people are depending on you. Interdependence, not independent, though you might have been on a team where there was some independent people on it, and that's never good. And so you learn interdependence, you learn responsibility, you learn commitment, you learn sticking to it. And so teams, there is some beauty in it. In fact, the scripture, some of those principles are going to be found in scripture, and I'm going to point some of those out to you today. And one of the things that Coach O said, remember what he said when he got the job, and one of the first slogans he came out with, he said, one team, everybody say one team. And he said, one heartbeat. One team, one heartbeat. And so I want to talk to you about building a team and building a heartbeat in a church, because a church can be like a team too. And unity is really, really important. In fact, I want to just go straight to the word today and talk to you just a little bit about building a team. One team, and you just say one heartbeat. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. In fact, I want to take you into one of the last prayers that we have. We actually have it written, this prayer that Jesus is going to pray. And if you ever thought, man, it'd be great just to sit down with Jesus and listen to him pray, we actually get that opportunity. It's actually found in scripture, that the scripture is going to peer into a private prayer meeting with Jesus, and you're going to hear his heart. He's going to pray. And we're going to look at that. And so I want you to see one of the last requests that Jesus is going to give to the Father before he leaves here on earth. By the way, just so you'll know, Jesus knew why he was here. He knew what the plan was, that he was going to die. And this is just before his death. He's going to throw up to God a prayer. And let's look at that request that he makes to the Lord in John chapter 17, verse 23. He's going to say, Lord, I am in them, his disciples, and you are in me. May they experience such, read the yellow, perfect unity. Let me paraphrase it for you. One team, one heartbeat. May we experience this one team, one heartbeat. May we experience this unity that the world will know. Because if they see that unity in us, then the world will know that what? You sent me. They'll know that I am who I said I was. And that you love them. This is important. And that you love them as much as you love me. If you don't get anything else today, and you only get one takeaway today, just make sure it's this one. That the Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Let me say it again, because I don't think you got it. Jesus loves you. I mean, the Father loves you as much as he loves his own son, Jesus. No, let me make sure right. Did you know that Jesus was sinless? That he was perfect? He never sinned. Did you know that you're imperfect? Just look to your left and to your right right now. That you're imperfect. So let me paraphrase it. God loves the imperfect, the sinner, as much as he loved the perfect, his son. What does that mean? That his love for you is not based on your performance. You ought to give God all the praise and glory. It's not based on your performance. He just loves you, which means you can't increase it by doing good, which means you can't decrease it when you don't do so good, that he loves you. And so Jesus, again, praying. What is he asking for? One team? He said, Lord, let us be in unity. Let us be in one accord. Now, let me take you to another scripture, because the scripture also gives me a responsibility, which you can hold me to, by the way. You can hold me to this responsibility. And it goes into the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Jesus is going to die. The scripture says he descended, then he ascended. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for you and me, praying for us. And then it goes on to say, and then Christ himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, the pastors and the teachers. And he said their job is to equip God's people. Who's God's people? That's you. To equip the team for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach what? One team, one heartbeat. One to reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So my job, pastor, is to get God's people to start walking in unity together, one team, one heartbeat, because Jesus had already prayed in the garden, if they would walk in unity, then the world will know that Jesus was who he said he was. So he's already prayed that. Then he gave you pastors, teachers, and evangelists as a gift from Jesus to you. By the way, did you realize that? That I'm a gift from Jesus to you? He must really love you. That's our job. So if Jesus is praying for unity, and then he sends you pastors and teachers and evangelists and Bible teachers and small group leaders to help you walk in unity, and if that's what Jesus wants to happen, then guess what the enemy wants to do? He wants to bring unity or disunity. All he wants to do is to bring division. Any way he can find a door that is unlocked that he can get inside so that he can bring disunity, so he can bring division, die, division. Instead of vision, division, separate, so there's more than one. That's his job, is to bring disunity. He's always wants to point out, and here's what he wants to do. He always wants to point out what makes us different than what makes us the same. I love what Ben Watson, the former tight end for the New Orleans Saints, wrote in his book about the race issues that are going on in America today. And he actually put the percentage of the difference between our skin colors. And I don't remember, I'm not a scientist or a doctor, but he wrote it that 99.89999% of the pigmentations of our skin are exactly the same. It's only that 0.00023. Only the difference is what makes us one shade darker than somebody else. And what we end up doing is making a big deal about what's different about us than what's the same about us. Can I get an amen? We're the same. We're the same. And so that is what the enemy has always done. In fact, you can drive through communities like ours all around our country, and you're going to see outside of the church, you're going to see, they're going to put on the marquee what makes them different instead of what makes us the same. By the way, look right here. I don't ever want you bad-mouthing some other church or ministry. We're on the same team. We're trying to accomplish the same goals, reach people, build lives. We should be about, listen, there have been plenty of folks who've walked into our church and said, Pastor, you, we live closer to another church and they need some help. Listen, I've never said, oh, no, don't go. I said, no, come here, let me pray for you. Lord, use them, bless them. We consider them seed into the harvest field. We send them out. We bless them in the name of the Lord. We're not here just to fill up this church. We want to see every church get filled up in Jesus' name. Amen? I'm so excited. There was a pastor of a church here in our community called this past week and said, can I come over and you know, just tell us what you're doing? I want to reach more people, and I'd like to see what you are doing. And how many of you know what we're going to do? We're going to give them everything we got. We're going to say, here it all is, whatever we can do to help you. And we want to be on the same team, one team. So I don't ever want you talking about another church. Blessing coming out of your mouth. Blessing coming out of your mouth. Blessing coming out. Are y'all receiving what I'm saying to you today? Okay. And so I want you to see how important it was to Jesus, how it is important it is to the Father. And then the Apostle Paul is even going to write, and he's going to write very passionately to you. He's, in fact, the scripture uses words like, I appeal to you. I'm appealing. That means when you've already made it, you're already made your decision, and he's asking you to change your mind. I'm appealing to you. Watch what he says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you would what? That you would agree with one another in what you say, and that there would be no divisions among you, but that you would be perfectly united in mind and in thought. That you'd be united together. And let me read it out of the Message version, a paraphrase translation. I have a serious concern to bring up with you, Paul writes. My friends, using the authority of Jesus, our master, I'll put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another. And I love this language. Watch this. Cultivating a life that is in common. Cultivating. That's a good word, cultivating. That's an agricultural term, cultivating. What does that mean? I want you to cultivate it. Cultivating cause is work. You got to work at it. 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 Cultivating. Heidi had this great idea this year. We've been married for 30 years. She's always talked about she was going to have a garden one day, and this year was the year, which I wasn't really excited. I wanted the produce of it because I like tomatoes, right? I'm a tomato guy, and I wanted some tomatoes, and there's nothing like homegrown maters. Can I get an amen from this? Homegrown maters are good. A little salt, a little pepper, just eat them. You know, I'm good. And so she had this idea and that she wanted to do a garden, which meant that I was going to have to do some work, which is not cool, but anyway, I'm in. And so we went and we actually rented a machine that, tiller. I don't even know what they're called. So could you imagine us trying to get this thing on? She brings it home. She goes and rents it from a place, and she brings it home, and we unload it. We're just looking at it. I think it's, you know, we're trying everything, and then you flip. We don't know. And then it was a pretty good-sized machine, and then it had these big, about this big, you know, big, about the size of a basketball teeth. And I turned that thing on, and it just drugged me across the yard. And then we worked it, man. We just out there sweating, going. And then she plants the seed. She watered it every day. She tended to it. And you know what happens when you plant nothing? You know what you get? That's not true. You get something. You get weeds. But if you cultivate, if you'll plant the right seed, if you'll water it, if you'll pluck the weeds, if you'll work at it, he said, you're going to cultivate something. You're going to produce something. It's going to produce. And one day you'll be plucking from that and going, I can't believe, I love this about our church. That it didn't matter. You can walk out here and you may see black folks or white folks, small group, black folk, white folk. You see it in a community. You see it inside of this community. You see the unity. You are speaking loudly to our nation. This is what it's supposed to be like and look like. It's what makes us the same. Can I bring y'all behind the curtain? Should I, Lord? There have been times we've sat there. I've sat with our team and with teams that are on our staff that the pigmentation of their skin is a little bit different than mine. And I've said to them, you worry about white people, I worry about black people. Black people worry about black people, white people worry about white people, then we've got division. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to worry about everybody. I don't care what color you are. You have to cultivate it. Paul's saying, cultivate it, cultivate it. Be intentional about it. Look for it. Watch it. Make sure you cultivate it. Are y'all tracking with me? By the way, we use the black and white as the example because it's glaring in our society, but it comes, prejudice comes in all forms. There's religious prejudice. There's socioeconomic prejudice. Are y'all with me? There's gender prejudice. It comes in all forms. I want you to see how the enemy just goes by. How many of y'all lock your house at night? You lock the doors? All the enemy does is walk around your house at night and try to figure out which door you might have left unlocked or the window you left unlocked to find the crack that he can get into to bring division among us. Paul's saying to us, here's what was happening in Paul's day. There were some that were saying they were of Apollos and some were saying they were of Paul. And Paul walks in and says, Paul and Apollos ain't nothing. It is one man planted the seed, another man watered the seed, but it's Jesus who gives the increase, and that's the one you ought to worry about, Jesus. I'm going to help you in just a second. Now watch this. And so I want to just give you a couple of quotes. D.L. Moody said this, I've never yet known the Spirit of God to work where the Lord's people were divided. In fact, I didn't do it in the early service, but in the book of Psalms, it actually says that the Lord commands a blessing to a place where the people are united together. Woo! How many of you want to get blessed? Let me ask it again. How many of you want to get blessed? You go, I want to be blessed. Then stay united. Then cultivate it. Work at it. Then God says, I command a blessing to wherever I see people walking together in unity. Now, let me help you just a little bit. Let me help you, because it's going to cost you something. In fact, the scripture goes on to tell us in the book of Colossians, Vic's going to help me, in the book of Colossians chapter 3, it's going to tell us, it says, you're going to have to work on it. In fact, this is what it says. You're going to have to, what's those first two words? Make an allowance. What does that mean? That means you're going to have to give some margin. You're going to have to make an allowance for. You're going to have some leniency. You may have to pardon some. You may have to let somebody off the hook. You may have to, here's my home, our house language. You may have to grace them. Let them go scot-free. You have to make some allowance for each other's what? Faults, issues. You got issues. You do. I got issues. You're going to have to forgive anyone who offends you. Everybody look right here for a second. You don't have to wait for someone to come to you to apologize before you forgive them. You can forgive them right now sitting where you're at. You can just go, Lord, I forgive them. I grace them. I give them leniency. I let them off the hook. And you're going, you mean they get away scot-free? No, no, no. They don't get away scot-free. What it means is you said, instead of me dealing with them, because you think because you're mad at them, you're getting back at them. Oh, yeah, I'm talking to somebody now. I'm talking to a woman in this place that needs to let her husband go in Jesus' name. You've been holding that against him for years. You need to let him go. You're drinking poison waiting for him to die. I can't wait for him to die. I'm going to hold it against. No, no, it says let him go. You let him go. You don't really, when you let them go, you're not really letting them go. You're really letting you go. You let him go. And so when you let him go, so they can get out. And so watch, let me go back to that real quick because I'm losing where I'm at here. Remember the Lord forgave you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must what? You got to forgive everybody else. Just let it go. Let them go. And you go, what? Then what's going to happen to them? Put them in God's hands. Let him deal with it instead of you dealing with it. Let it be far worse for them to be put in the hands of God and let him deal with it than you deal with it. Just let them go. Release them. Lord, I forgive them. But it keeps coming back up again. Can I help you? Every time it comes back up again, you forgive them again. Lord, I forgive them. I release them. I let him go in Jesus' name. Remember that time when the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times do we have to forgive? Seven times? And Jesus said what? 70 times seven. Now, that was hyperbole. That was not 490. Is that right, 490? Y'all don't know either? Okay, all right. Do we have anybody that graduated from anything in here? 490, is that right? 490? Somebody tell me, yes. 490, okay, 490. I know somebody's got their phone right now going, 470 times 7. Yeah, Pastor, it's good, 490. Let me tell you what Jesus is not saying. He's not saying on the 491st time. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is you might have to forgive them over and over and over again. Every time the enemy wants to bring it back up, you're going to have to forgive them. Lord, I forgive them again. And if you'll just keep doing that, every time the enemy reminds you of the offense, if you go to the Father in prayer, trust me, the enemy will realize that door has been locked and he will no longer try to open it anymore. He'll eventually go away. Are you receiving that? That's free, by the way. So you got to make allowance. You got to forgive others because you've been forgiven. Anybody here been forgiven much by God? He's let it go. Then you have no right to hold anything against anybody else. Freely you've received, then you must freely give. Forgive them. Forgive them. Above all, I love this, clothe yourself. Put it on. Clothe yourself with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. I can remember where I was the day I decided that I was going to marry Heidi. She was in Dallas, Texas. I was in New Orleans, Louisiana. We'd been separated distance for 6 months. We were, back in those days, for you young people, we wrote letters. That's where you take a piece of paper and a pencil and you write a letter and you fold it and you put it and then you put in the, and you had to put a stamp on it and the address and you put it in a mailbox and they delivered it. Can you believe that? How many of y'all remember letters? Write letters. That's all the old people right there. We would call each other once a week. We would talk on the phone once a week. It's a long distance relationship. And this is before mobile phones or, cell phones. Before our cell phones and you had the regular phone, right? But how many of you remember when you had that long cord? Anybody remember long cord? You could walk off. That was our mobile phone back in the day. If you got a long cord, you had a mobile phone. And I could walk all around. You know, you could walk all around. Hey, baby, what you doing? Nothing. What you doing? Nothing. Thinking about you. I was thinking about you, too. I know. Man. You doing all right? I can hear you breathing. Yeah. Yeah, no. Okay, I love you. I love you, too. Okay, you going to get on the phone? No, you get off. You hang up first. No, you hang up first. Remember, you talked for hours about nothing. Nothing. Now she called me and go, what are you doing? Nothing. Me neither. Bye. And we just talking. Remember that cord? You drag that cord, you'd have to. And you'd be talking. You get yourself all tangled up in it. You're like, what you doing, right? I can remember walking up and down the little hall of my little apartment there, and I'm just walking up and down the hall going, Lord, I think I love her. I think I love her. Is she the one? Lord, is she the one? Because if she's not the one, I mean, I want her to be the one. Lord, have you seen that hair that girl's got? I love that hair. I love it. I love it. I love everything about her. You see her lips? Her lips are so big and juicy. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love her. I love her. I love her. I love her twang. I love the way she talks. She adds extra syllables to words. I love that. One syllable words become two syllable words, like sin. I love that. I love it. And the Lord said, this is what the Lord said. So I'm just telling you what he said. Do you choose her? If you choose her, I'm going, Lord, you're leaving this up to me? Do you choose to love her? I said, I do. I choose to love her. Look at me. Love's not an emotion. Love is a choice. I chose her. I chose her, and she chose back. Look at me. God chose you. He decided, despite your flaws, your imperfections, your impulsive behavior, your addiction, he chose. Just as much as he loved his perfect son. If he didn't, then Jesus wouldn't have died. You would have had to die for your own. But instead he said, no, I'm going to let Jesus take his place because I love him that much. What a God. Yep. Look at me. I love this. I'm closing. I mean it this time. I'm serious this time. I love this. By the way, unity is not the goal. Unity is a byproduct. I loved the illustration A.W. Tozer said. He said, if there were 100 pianos, it's like them getting tuned to the same fork. You have to tune your piano to a tuning fork. Bum! And that each piano would tune to the same fork. And the more they tune to that one fork, the more they become in tune with one another. And so we have a fork. Bing! The more that you fall in love with Jesus, the more you'll come closer to the brother or sister that's sitting beside you. The more you love him. We're not going after unity for unity's sake. We're going after Jesus, and if I fall in love with Jesus, then he'll change my heart. What does that mean? That means I could be prejudiced, but if I, start getting in tune with Jesus, then prejudice has to go. I could be greedy, but, the more I get in tune with him, the greed has to go. I could be walking in bitterness, but the more I get in tune with him, then bitterness has to go. I can be walking in unforgiveness, but the more I get tuned with him, unforgiveness has to go. And the more I get in tune with him, the closer we get to each other. Can I get an amen from the congregation? Are you with me? I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I know that you're putting us all, we're the train pulled into the depot today. And we're all getting on this train together as we continue to walk forward. And I pray, Father, that you would, we'd hear the tuning fork of the Holy Spirit today. That you love us and that you forgave us. And all we have to do now as we pursue you is to start expressing that same heart and attitude towards one another. Father, I pray as we grow closer to you, may we grow closer together. Father, that is our prayer. In Jesus' name, right? Look right here. Nobody's moving. Look right here. We want to give you some opportunities. That is my responsibility, is to give you opportunities. Christianity was never intended to be a sport you play alone. It's a team sport. Which means as our church gets bigger, it's got to get smaller. Which means your next step is to be in a small group. And we want to give you that opportunity. And we made it as easy as we possibly can. We're all kind of brand new. And so we made it easy. We took some obstacles out of the way. And that's why on Wednesday, this Wednesday, young people, you need to come to the student ministries at 6:30. You need to come. We're just taking some of those steps away. If you're a man in our congregation, you need to come on Wednesday mornings at 6 a.m. There's going to be just about 30 minutes of teaching, and then they're going to break into some small groups right there together. We're going to break into small groups, and you got to start building relationally. Get some people around you. Can I get an amen? Girls, that's why on Thursday evenings, if you were here this Thursday evening, we had a 6 o'clock, Thursday evening, 6 o'clock, teaching with Heidi, and then there's a breakdown into small groups. And listen, and those girls, they loved it, I'm telling you. You need a team around you. There's going to be a day where you're going to need that support around you so the enemy can't get after you. Can I get an amen? So I want to just make sure that you knew that. Every head bowed, every head closed. Right now, maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Christians, would you pray right now? Just pray. I'm praying right now. Father, if you're here, you go, I don't know if I died today where I'd spend eternity. I don't know. Let me tell you the first relationship you're going to need. Maybe you've walked this life and go, I feel alone. You don't have to feel alone anymore. God has a family and he wants you in it. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all of us. Jesus said you can't see the kingdom or enter the kingdom until you've been born again. You have to be born again. I was born July 30th, 1965. I was born again the summer of 1983. It's when I gave my life to Jesus. It's as easy as A, B, C. A, admit you're a sinner. Just admit it. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's mark. B, believe that Christ came to be the sin bearer, to pay for your sin. And then C, confess him as Lord and Savior. I want to pray for you. If that's your heart today, to be born again, I'm going to pray for you right now. All I ask is that you would just lift your hand up and say, Pastor, you, it's me. Pray for me today. I want to be born again. Hold it up high right now. Thank you. One. I'm looking across the room. Two. Hold it up high. Three, four, and five, six, and seven. I'm looking. Eight. Thank you. Nine, 10, and 11. I'm looking across the room. 12. Thank you, ma'am. 13, and 14, and 15, and 16. I see it. 17, 18, 19, and 20, and 21. 21. Congregation, let's pray with each one of these. Let's pray it out loud. Would you say this with me? Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe that you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.